Well, thank you for that. As was said, I run content and social at Cabbage. We're a data technology platform. So we offer small business loans to small businesses that they can apply for and get within minutes, as well as we tailor our platform so other brands, such as other financial institutions, can use our technology to be a little bit more agile in their small business loans. I got into digital, a little bit about my background. I got into digital marketing because my first career was in animal rescue and advocacy. So I worked on a lot of campaigns, such as the federal lawsuit against Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, as well as some campaigns against keeping exotic animals as pets and using them for entertainment. I got onto the scene when digital marketing started to get really big, because as you can imagine, in the nonprofit world, digital marketing was a godsend because we had no marketing dollars and suddenly we had a way to reach people for relatively low cost, if not for free. While I no longer work in that field, I still do foster and volunteer, and so there's typically little kittens running around my house at any given time. So it'll always have my heart, even if I don't work in it anymore. So a little bit about what we're doing at Cabbage. So we have a content marketing that's geared for small businesses, and when I came onto Cabbage, we had a fairly solid plan in place in terms of as plans go. Certainly I've been with other brands that didn't have a content strategy at all. So this was sort of a good leaping pad, but what I was finding as I spent some more time at Cabbage is that things weren't quite resonating the way I would have liked to have seen them. And I think it had a little something to do with a phenomenon that we'll call Florida Man. So I don't know if any of you guys follow Florida Man on Twitter, but what Florida Man is it is a Twitter account that aggregates any news story about a man in Florida, because it always seems like the weird stories come out of Florida. And so they've taken this amalgam of Florida Man and they've turned him into the world's worst superhero. So you'll see Florida Man, if you follow his feed, you'll see that Florida Man, this persona, does some pretty weird, crazy, terrifying things, and it's kind of become a funny thing, but at the same time, clearly this isn't the same Florida Man, but we've kind of turned him into this funny superhero persona. What I realized is we were kind of doing the same thing at Cabbage. We had this persona that we called business owner. And so the story of business owner, as decided by the Cabbage content team and a lot of our marketing partners that we worked with, was one that we kind of made up with probably not doing a whole lot of digging in. So our goal is to be the go-to business expert for business owners. And we knew that business owners should know things like content marketing and SEO and social media marketing and merchant services. These are all the things we knew that business owners should probably know. So like many marketers, we started producing the content that we knew was just gonna get the best possible clicks and that the business owner would be so interested in, because who wouldn't want to produce that killer content, and who doesn't want to have that amazing mobile website and everything's about the cloud now, and that's all the content that we were putting out there because that's what business owner wants to know. Then we shared it in all of the places, all of our content. We worked with business influencers who business owner followed. And then we sat back and congratulated ourselves as we waited to rake in all that traffic from business owners everywhere. The results from this rock-solid strategy was that even though we were getting a lot of shares across social, about 50% of them were actually being read, of those being shared. We ended up with an actually negative ROI with our influencers, so we actually lost money on the money we invested into our influencer marketing program. Our monthly average engagement rate of our content on social increased by a whopping 2%. And we weren't really differentiated from the other business marketers. So why wasn't business owner reading all of our content? I mean, certainly it was everything business owner needed to know. Were we doing something wrong? We were not. Should we put more paid dollars behind it? Then we really took a look at things and we're figuring out where we missed the boat as we started to do a deeper dive. For starters, business owner encompasses a whole lot of people. And I'm not just talking about the types of businesses they have. I'm talking about where they're at in their business cycle, what the reasoning for being in business is, as well as even the social platforms that they're on. So where we miss the boat is that business owner is not a persona to market to. Business owner is a very generic term. And when you market content to a generic term, you end up marketing very generic content. And that's where we miss the boat, is that we made the lazy mistake of saying our audience is a bunch of business owners, and that's who we're marketing to. And so we were kind of honestly putting out some pretty crappy content. So the first thing I did is I started doing some research into types of business owners. And InfusionWeb did this amazing survey of business owners that was already falling in line with a lot of the segments that we were realizing that we had of people who were owning businesses. So what they did is they broke them out into essentially four different types of business owners. So we have the freedom seekers over here. These are the people who got into business because they just didn't want to be tied down by anyone anymore. They wanted their own path. They wanted to do their own thing. So they went into business for themselves so that they were not answering to anyone but themselves. Passionate creators started their business because they love what they do. Think people on Etsy. Think any of the people in the maker movement, bakers, artisans. These are people who started most likely as a hobby, and then it turned into a business venture. Then there's the legacy creators, and they're more likely to have started a business with a family member and just see it as an economical choice. Think your mom and pop shop. And then we have a sad bunch over here who are the struggling survivors. They are not doing so well in business. They are struggling financially. They're struggling time-wise. They are and oftentimes regretting going into business for themselves. They feel that they have no support around them. They really have quite a negative outlook on being a business owner. So what I realized is that as we were sending out all of these really nifty content marketing pieces on SEO and SEM and CRM, we were really only talking to about 25% of our audience. And that's our passionate creators. Because from their internet usage and their business habits, they're more likely to use analytics for decision making. They're more likely to look for entrepreneurship training. They're likely to spend $500 or more on marketing efforts. They're likely to use email marketing. If you look at every other single one of these business owners, their adoption of technology, social media, digital media is paltry at best and nil at most. So the legacy builders, most of them don't even, half of them don't even have a website. Struggling survivors, they do not get, they don't understand software at all. They have a hard time adapting to it, so they don't use it. They don't use analytics to make business decisions. They usually turn to friends and family. And even the freedom seekers, who are a little bit more savvy than the legacy builders and struggling survivors, they are resistant to new software, mostly due to the cost. So they technically are still looking at lower cost things, doing low-tech sorts of tactics. But they are likely to use things like accounting software or email marketing automation, so they're sort of in the middle ground. Then we have to look at where they are in their business, the stage of their business life cycle. If they're just thinking about it, they haven't even launched it yet. They're probably doing some research, looking into what it takes to do their business. They're in the launch phase, so the launch phase means they're just getting it off the ground and started. Growing is when it's off the ground, they're getting ready to go and launching it and getting it to a good place. And then reinventing is the stage where they've been in business for a while, but they realize that the market's changing, and so they need to adapt their business. So when I looked at those segments, I said, well, where are these people hanging out online? Because we have two really big segments here. We have one, the type of business owner they are, and two, where they are in the life cycle of their business. And this is what I found, is that all of them are on Facebook. And that's most likely due to an adaptability, because everyone's on Facebook anyway. So that's an easy one to adapt. Only our passionate creators and our freedom seekers are on Twitter. They're also on LinkedIn. Only our passionate creator is on Instagram. And the legacy builders and the struggling survivors, 50% of our audience are most likely only on Facebook. Same thing with where they are in the business life cycle stage, and this is the variable. So this is always going to be the constant, but this is going to be the variable, so you will see some changes. But what I think is really interesting is you can say, well, if it's a variable, how can we tie that down to one social platform? Certainly things are going to change, and so as they grow, they may adapt and change into different platforms. But overall, what we found was that where you are in the business life cycle stage seems to correlate too with the type of business owner that you are. So, based on the business owner types and the audience research, we found that our content was relevant to maybe 25% of our audience. Most of our audience's internet usage habits were solutions-based, specific to their business industry. So they were not on there searching, what's the best CMR or CRM platform? How can I get better at SEO? They were probably on there researching how to fix the sink that just broke in my restaurant, or you know, how to perfect my cupcake icing florets. So that's more what they were looking for. We also realized that most of our audience prefers trade publications. If we're marketing to small business owner, we're not really hitting what they want to read, so they're turning to the publications that are within their own industry because that's going to be relevant to them. Also, we found that most of our audience was more interested in what their competitors were doing to make sure they were keeping up and not missing the boat on anything. As well as most of our audience had no idea who the business influencers we were working with even were. And they were expensive. So that was a bummer. So we did a big fat content strategy overhaul. Our next steps were to reset expectations with our writers. We overhauled our monthly content planning brainstorm session. We implemented an urgent story protocol. We radically revised our guest blogger guidelines and business owner profile format. And we revised our influencer marketing program. So with our writers, I let go of half of our writing team because, quite honestly, I had to be honest, they were subpar. A lot of our freelancers were freelancing simply to get their names out there more, but when it came to the content they produced, I had to be honest and say it wasn't quality content. We also wrote new guidelines for our remaining writers and our content and editorial team. So, number one, no word parsley. If anybody remembers from college trying to make up that essay and you had like 200 more words you had to fill in and you were just throwing in everything, none of that, no more of that. I don't know about you guys, but when I click on an article, I rarely read the opening paragraph. I skip right to the good stuff. So I wanted to not focus so much on the pretty flowery stuff that we're opening with. No generic content. I hate to say it, but the business marketing content that's out there is the same business marketing content that's on every single other blog. And we needed to differentiate ourselves. And so if they can type their topic into a search engine and find several page results full of articles saying the same thing, it was time to pick something else to write about. No oversimplifying. This is one of my biggest pet peeves on both of my blog as well as other blogs. This is actually an article from the Cabbage blog from years ago, How to Become an Entrepreneur. Number one, brainstorm an idea. This is a terrible oversimplification. You can't just become an entrepreneur with one oversimplified blog post. Nobody's going to walk away from that feeling inspired and I'm going to become an entrepreneur today because I learned how to brainstorm. So no oversimplifying. We're going to drill down. And number four and five kind of go together. No vague subheaders. If you're writing tips about marketing, for example, don't use vague subheaders. Like, be creative. What does that mean? That's so vague. I want to see something really specific that's drilled down that they can walk away with. And don't state the obvious. I call this the no-duh rule. And this is, again, a big problem in content marketing in general. For instance, down here in a tip to readers, stay organized. If they're a business owner and they don't know that staying organized is important, then they're not going to be our demographic for long anyways. Not only that, but we're undermining their intelligence. I think they know to stay organized. This is, again, kind of laddering back up to word parsley. It kind of fills a word count, but I think they know to stay organized. It's like when you read a beauty article and it tells you to get more sleep. I think we all know that. So we don't need that repeated to ourselves. So then I overhauled our monthly content planning brainstorm. Typically how it works at Cabbage is we plan our content a month ahead. And it's a bunch of us in a room, and we have a monthly theme. Every month we have a different theme. For instance, February is business taxes. And what it had become was a room of us sitting around looking at what the theme is and very lackluster responses. And honestly, I think most of us wanted to stab our eyes out. It was incredibly boring. So I knew it was time to look at this in a new way. So for starters, I started sending out a deck a few days before each brainstorm. And in that deck, we looked at facts, because we're not all subject matter experts. I know way more about business taxes than I want to now, but before we brainstormed, I didn't know much. So I sent out facts about business taxes, resources, ideas about the theme to think on. A data dashboard, so I wanted everyone to know what SEO keywords to focus on. Top performing blogs from the previous month, what was doing really well from the month before. Top performing social posts from the previous month, as well as our top converting blogs. The next thing I put on there as well is a historical data on the theme, a list of blogs that we already have on this topic so we don't repeat anything, as well as how they performed. And then a reminder, and this is really important, of all the industries that encompasses our audience. We serve people who run restaurants and salons and spas and are in the trucking industry. So they each have their own unique set of things that they need to consider, and that was really important for us to keep in mind when we come up with our content. Then I give the business owner a face. On each deck I send out, on every page, I put a picture of an actual small business owner, because I think it's really easy for us to forget who we're talking to, or we get lost in the world of beautiful stock photography with smiling, happy business owners that look like models. Not that our small business owners aren't all attractive and gorgeous, but you know, they're real people that are doing this for different things, and I thought it was really important for us to ground ourselves and remember who we're talking to. How many of you are familiar with Trello? All right. So Trello is a really awesome collaborative tool. We use it like crazy for everything on Cabbage. But what I did is I took our brainstorming to Trello. And if you don't use Trello, honestly, think of this as virtual post-it notes. So you can do this with post-it notes. But what I did is, instead of brainstorming out loud, we are now doing a team quiet brainstorming. And I did this for a few reasons. In some research, I found that brainstorming out loud is really ineffective because, first of all, there's always that one person who dominates the conversation and thinks they have the best idea. So good ideas get stifled. Two, it's been proven that people tend to go with the first few ideas thrown out, even if later ideas are kind of crappy. So you're not necessarily inciting the best ideas. So a silent brainstorm made a lot more sense. So what we did is, because we're spread out on two coasts, there's some of us in San Francisco, some of us in Atlanta, we all log into Trello, we are on the same board, it's real-time collaboration. Again, post-it notes, feel free. And I took them through a deck where we ask the same questions, but around that monthly content theme. And we ask, what's already been said about this topic? And when I ask that, they're all given 90 seconds to write down everything they can think of, no matter how silly it seems, how, whatever, write it down, get it out of your head. What can we say that probably hasn't already been said? What tools are needed for this topic? For instance, this theme was taxes, you need an accountant, you need accounting software. What questions would a new business owner ask about this topic, and what would an experienced one ask? Who might be the leaders in the field of this topic? It doesn't even have to be by name, but leaders in the field of business taxes would be accountants, obviously, and bookkeepers, QuickBooks. Any influencers or leaders in this field, whether they're by name or by subject, that's really important to know. We're gonna possibly wanna reach out to them or link to their content. What special considerations do our audience's industries have around this topic? So for business taxes, there are special considerations for childcare and for the trucking industry. There's things that they have to take in mind, and so we want to make sure that we're speaking very specifically to those audiences. And what might people find inspiring about this topic? One of the biggest takeaways I've had from this whole experiment is, on Facebook specifically, That audience loves inspiring content. And that makes sense. We all come to social media to learn something or be entertained, inspired, but it performs particularly well on Facebook. And so, granted, it's harder with some themes like business taxes, but it's really good to kind of remember to keep that human quality of content in there when you can. And then what might help audiences be more productive around this topic? This is around another insight that things like tips and life hacks, they do really well. So if we can find some great things to help with productivity, it's going to perform well on social. In between each question, after everyone's done writing, I give them 1 minute to go back and look at everybody's suggestions, and they pick out their three favorite. And on those cards, or if you were doing a post-it, they write what type of content format they think it would be best in. So would it be great as a little mini infographic? Would it be an image quote series, a slide share, a blog post, an ebook, a webinar? We want to think of all types of ways that this topic might show up best for different content types. And from there, the ideas were amazing. We got very granular. So some of our content were things like, we started looking at Quora, Reddit, all of those forums where business owners are actually talking about the things they actually want to know about. And I'll tell you, it's very rarely things like SEO and cloud marketing. So women business owners of Reddit give their hacks on easing the transition from full-time to self-employment. I wouldn't have even thought of that topic. But it was a huge thread. The other thing we've started doing is we've started paying our employees to actually start shopping at small businesses. So we sent some of our employees into a beloved employee restaurant, and we didn't tell them who we were, but what we found is that the owner of the restaurant actually comes out to each table personally, bless you, and asks people to check in on Facebook or Yelp. And we're like, that's so going above and beyond. And so we wrote up this article, what the owner of Babs Restaurant in Atlanta is doing that you're probably not. Then for Instagram, we employed a new strategy where we are giving our employees $50 gift cards to shop at a small business, get anything they want, and then take a picture. And we tagged the small business, this is what we bought from this shop. And it is going over like you wouldn't believe. People love it because we're actually literally putting our money where our mouth is and supporting businesses. And then again, we started building these topics based off of what we were finding them talking about online. Does the Internet Tax Freedom Act exempt online sellers from paying income tax? Again, I would have never thought of that on my own. Found it in a forum. Can online sellers claim storage on products and materials in their homes as a business expense? That's, e-commerce is so big right now. And then I found out that, I didn't even know this, the Taxpayer Advocacy Service puts out a report to Congress every month, or every year, highlighting critical issues within the IRS, and so I combed through that report and found out that one of the biggest issues they have right now is the IRS is potentially doing some illegal practices that are damaging business reputations. So I thought, well, it's kind of important to know as a business owner. Then one of our biggest things is breaking and timely news. So we started putting out, anytime something new came out that was very timely and related to small businesses, we started putting that out as well, and that's been some of our top performing content. So a teen who worked at a store for 10 weeks before being told his internship was unpaid. Important to know if you're a business owner that has interns. What can business owners learn from the Macy's store closing? How the author of 50 Shades of Grey had a complete social media nightmare. And then we started looking for discussion starters. We found a thread on Reddit where one Redditor said that businesses are justified not hiring any woman of childbearing age because she's a risk in case she gets pregnant. So we reported on that. A female business owner who was told she should wear makeup if she wants to be taken more seriously. When the news broke of Jennifer Lawrence getting paid so much less than her male counterparts and she wrote that great letter about, I need to stop being likable and ask for what I'm worth, we pulled some female entrepreneurs and asked them to tell us the moment they got over being likable and how it paid off. Addressing industry needs, as I said, we've really ramped that up. I don't expect you to read that all. But this is just an example now of what our new guest bloggers get when they submit to be a Cabbage writer. We get a lot of guest bloggers who want to write for Cabbage. And in the beginning, it was kind of a, yeah, great, write for us, free content, wonderful. But what we were finding is we were getting the same generic business marketing content that, you know, we were trying to move away from. So now we have completely changed our standards. We make it very clear that we're going to be very, you know, proactive in saying no. And then we've also changed our business owners. So we we profile business owners, and we've radically changed how we do that to make it more industry specific and so that it's something that other business owners can learn from since they want to know more. And then we revised our influencer marketing program. We're moving away from business influencers. We're going more industry specific. We're scaling way back on Twitter, which we put way too much emphasis on, and which, quite honestly, I feel many business marketers put way too much emphasis on. I don't think most of our small business owners are really on Twitter and getting as much out of it. I suspect what my theory is that Twitter is a bunch of business marketers talking to each other. I'm going to look more into that. Maybe that's what I'll present next time. And we are putting more of an emphasis on Instagram as our influencer source. And the result from our Big Fat Content Strategy overhaul so far, our average share rate's gone up 22%, but the actual view rate has risen 36%, which is awesome. Our monthly average engagement rate grew from 2% a month to a 16% a month increase. Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram naturally rose to a top performer over Twitter. And the influencers we've been finding and engaging with, even though they have a lower reach, so their audiences may be lower, they actually have a much higher resonance than business influencers, meaning the stuff that they say carries a lot more weight, is shared a lot more. And that's it. So now I will open it up for questions. Thank you for listening so patiently. Yes?
Presentation. My name is Jessica as well, and fan of Cabbage.
Great.
And I was actually reached out to by a Cabbage employee to write for you.
Awesome.
The only thing is, I wasn't sure, do you take content that's already been on someone's website and also repurpose it there, or are you looking for, like, do you just use organic content that is for your
unique
site only?
Yeah. So our SEO guy is very strict, and he requires that we have original content on our website. He's great.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, and I don't know completely the method to his madness, but it's all original content.
So then do you leave it up to the person that you're working with then to decide how often, since they're creating new pieces of content?
Mm-hmm.
And are they, so that's question one. Question two part of that is, are they able to then link back to their own material if they are writing?
And I'm sorry, the first question was?
So, like, let's just say, since I write for other people as well, like, could
sure.
I say, like, once every 2 months I submit a piece?
Gotcha.
Or something? Because you say you change the theme each month, right?
We do. So for the guest bloggers, we have guest bloggers who maybe contribute once or who contribute on a regular basis.
Gotcha.
And what we do, if it's clear they want to contribute on a regular basis, I actually have recently set up a Trello board, and it's strictly for guest bloggers. And so I will invite you to that Trello board, and when you can pitch me as little or as much as you want. And on that Trello board is our guidelines, what we're looking for. It doesn't necessarily have to be for guest blogs in line with our theme. It just has to be in line with what we're looking for. So then you pitch that to me once a month, once a day, however much you want. And, you know, we may bat it back and forth if I want some revisions on what, but yeah, by all means. Absolutely, you can link back to yourself. Absolutely, yeah. On the third slide. Yep. So we have freelance writers, and we assign them their articles a month ahead of time. Like I said, we do, or usually the month before it starts. But what I do now is when a breaking news story comes out or something that I think is going to be really interesting, I put out an email to all of them, and it says urgent story, and it's first come, first serve. And they know the guideline is if I send out that urgent story and they take it, I need that turnaround. Usually within 12 to 24 hours, I'll state it in the email. And then the first one who gets back to me and says I'll do it gets extra assignments for that month. That's a great question. So with our guest blogger specifically, it just depends because the cadence isn't one that is predictable because sometimes we'll have a ton of them in 1 month and sometimes not a lot. So what we'll usually tell them is, well, we can't promise when it's going to be published. So that way, if we do have a slow month, we have some backup of some guest posts. And I'll go back. So, and I'm sorry, what was the other part of your question? Yes, okay. So right now on Cabbage, and this may change because we're still playing around with things, but right now we're publishing between 2 and 3 articles a day. And again, that might change, but what I've been working on right now is trying to get out at least 1 article surrounding our theme and then 1 article surrounding our industries, being industry specific, because sometimes that might not be around our theme. And then in terms of where we're distributing it, I'm distributing it based on this chart. So what I'm finding is that, again, on Facebook, everyone is on Facebook. Our audience, though, I did a little research into our audience to kind of get an idea, so I did it on Facebook Graph to see what other pages they liked. And what I found is that our Facebook audience is swings very conservative, Republican, Trump voters, very religious. They love Duck Dynasty. And so I started to kind of like get an idea of who was actually on our Facebook page, which is great. Now I know who I'm marketing to. But then I actually started to get some, build some audience segments around these other guys, and that's where I'm putting paid ad money. So if I have an article, for instance, any of those articles about women entrepreneurs, I have an audience segment now built around women in business and women leadership, and I promote that to them. And then what I found for Twitter and LinkedIn, the content we're putting out there is mostly aimed towards C-level executives and very experienced business owners and entrepreneurs. And that, just by changing that strategy alone, LinkedIn is one of our highest, jumped the most, 30% engagement month over month is what we're seeing now since we changed that strategy. Instagram, we're really sticking with our passionate creators. So if you look at our Instagram feed, we've really switched it over to breweries, restaurants, Etsy shop owners, and that, again, that's where they're really hanging out. Good to know. I will get your info after the talk. Anyone else have any questions? Yes. Well, so we have freelance writers, and they're paid. And then guest bloggers who want a guest blog usually do it because they want like a link back to their site. We're looking, so we're doing, like I said, we're really changing our writer protocol and we're looking for subject matter experts. The writers I kept, they are very good at business issues, finance issues, but I'm again starting to look for subject matter experts in the area of industries. Women and minorities is a really big one that I need desperately. And so we're kind of slowly overhauling that. And we're also looking at getting an in-house writer too, a full-time in-house writer. That is a great question. Cabbage is slang for money. I know I just went through a ton of stuff. and I saw you all writing furiously. What I'm going to do, go all the way to the back. Stay in touch. I'm switching over my website, so I don't have that info yet, but you can follow me on Twitter. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. sociallyjess@gmail.com is my email address. I will upload this to SlideShare and tweet it out, or you can feel free to contact me directly and ask for it, because like I said, I know there's a lot of info. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me.